I want to express my thanks to Matt for changing the song. The song leaders here are very cooperative, and I appreciate that very much. You'll see why I asked him to lead this song as a closing song when you see what we're going to study tonight. And I hope the lesson tonight, it may be a rather unusual lesson. I don't know if you've ever heard a lesson on this topic or not, but I think we can benefit from the study. And not only in the study of the particular text we're looking at, but in our methods at arriving at a conclusion. So let's address ourselves to that study tonight. As you can see, we're going to base our study on Romans chapter 16, verse 16. Greet, your version may say, salute one another with a holy kiss. And so the question that I have under that, the text actually says that, and it's a command that none of you obeyed today. Can we be selective? Just take the commands we like and not obey the commands we don't like? Should we be kissing one another when we meet? And if somebody was to ask us, well, why don't you obey this command? You say we ought to keep God's commandments. Why don't you keep this one? Could we give a rational, scriptural answer? Hopefully our study tonight will help us in that regard. The first thing is to understand what is meant by the word greet or salute. You hear me say a lot of times, words are vehicles upon which thoughts travel. It's not unique to me. Very important in this particular study, because we may use the word greet to simply mean hello, but hello does not connote what they meant by the word greet or salute. It's much fuller than that. And I hope that the verses we'll look at here will demonstrate that. So if you want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 10, we'll look at several verses that I think clearly demonstrate that what they meant, what you read in your Bible about greeting or saluting, and salute's not like a military salute here, it's this term greet makes more sense to us, is a word that's full of attitude toward one another. In 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 10, I'm reading the New American Standard, and I mentioned that for a reason, and you see it on the chart. I got NASB footnote. And so you'll note at the end of the verse, it says, Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. And we've encouraged you as you study your Bible to pay attention to these little footnotes, especially where you have L-I-T out in the margin or something of that nature. And you see we've got on the chart literally bless, and that's in that margin. So he went out to bless him. That may sound strange to us, but that would not sound strange to them. And so it's more than just hello. It's the idea of well-wishing of some sort. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 14. A contrast, which is helpful here. Sometimes we can understand words by seeing the contrast. And so here it says, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, that's Nabal, and he scorned them. That's the New American Standard Version. I put a couple other versions up there to help us get a grasp on this. The New King James uses the term reviled him. The New International Version says, hurled insults at him. It's interesting, some of the versions say they screamed at him. The idea is it's not a welcome. It's not just, well, he didn't say hello. It represents an attitude of scorn, an attitude of insult. And that's set in contrast to the idea of greeting in that text. Now, this one is very informative, Matthew chapter 5. So turn over to Matthew chapter 5. And let's look at this text together. Now, once you get there, I have on the chart verse 43 through 48, but first look at verse 47. The reason I want you to look at verse 47 is because our word occurs there. And so he's using this very term, if you greet only your brothers. Now, if you're familiar with this text, you know that this text has to do with an attitude of love. And it's not love, L-U-V, I like you. In fact, it's a love that may ride above the fact you don't like somebody. It's a love that's willing to do them good and not harm, and to pray for them when they mistreat you. That's the kind of love he's discussing. So verse 43, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So in other words, seek their well-being. Here's an attitude of wanting to do them good. Then he comes down here to verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers. So the previous verse, if you love only those who love you, this next verse, the same idea but different words, if you greet only. In other words, express love towards. Treat them in this way. That's the idea of the context of greeting in this particular text. I think that's very, very obvious. Look at Matthew 10. This is an interesting passage as we look at the meaning of this word. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 12. Now this is when Jesus sent the disciples out. Verse 1, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and then he sent them out. And then note, he says, as they went, verse 11, from city to village, and inquire who's worthy of it, stay in the house till you leave the city. Verse 12, as you enter the house, give it your greeting. Now, again, if you have a footnote on the word greeting, you're going to see again out in the footnote, blessing, just like we did in the first verse we looked at back in Samuel. But what I want you to note is the next verse. If the house is worthy, give it your... Now, if you're reading the New American Standard, it says, blessing of peace. If you're reading the King James or the New King James or the American Standard, blessing of is not in the verse, is it? Give it your peace. The New American Standard lets the reader know blessing of is not in there by putting it in italics. So now we know what he means by greeting in verse 12. It's an attitude that wishes peace on someone. That attitude is expressed in the greeting. You can say hello to somebody and not wish them peace. But this is what this is involved. Note, if it is not worthy, look, take back your peace. In other words, don't greet them. Don't greet them. But it's not just, don't say hello. That's not it. Don't wish them well in view of the fact they're unwilling to support you in this work that you're doing for the master. And so you can see that the word greeting in this text very clearly involves the attitude that's more than just hello. All right, and then our next passage is another one that's very illustrative. Look at 2 John, 2 John, verse 10. So here, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, the teaching that he had taught them about the Christ, about his incarnation, he came in the flesh for the sins of mankind, he's the Son of God. If anyone comes and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. Well, what if it's minus 10 degrees, there's a blizzard outside, and the guy's cold, can you open the door and let him come in and warm up? Well, sure. That's not what he's talking about. Look as you continue. For the one who gives him a greeting participates. Your version may say shares in or has fellowship with. What he's talking about greeting is a way to talk to this man that says, I support you. I wish you peace in your work. I'm behind you. That's the idea of the greeting here. You see that? And so it's not just the guy knocks on the door and there he is and you Don't even say anything. Slam the door in his face. That's not the idea. And you can very clearly see that there's more involved in that. Now, we've got a question here. Is this term, Greek one another with a holy kiss, instituting a new custom or regulating an old one? So when you read about that in Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss, is that something new for the churches that they had never heard of before, that he's now instituting in among brethren? Or is this something that has been practiced among the religious people who know God, and even among those before Judaism, that neighbors would practice? Now, we're not going to read all these verses. We've already noticed some of those, like in Samuel. But go back all the way to Genesis chapter 33. Here we are. We're before the law. We're in Genesis chapter 33, verse 4. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. And you remember the story between Esau and Jacob, two brothers, and the enmity that was there. So when he kissed him, what is that? He said, man, I sure don't want my brother to kiss me. It's the idea, let's forget the past. I'm not out here to hurt you. I wish you well. That's what that connotes. You see, he kissed him. And it's an old way of greeting. Nothing new about it at all. Look in Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 4 and in verse 27. Now the Lord said to Aaron, go to meet Moses in the wilderness. So he went out and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. Again, two brothers. And they kissed. In our society, we see two guys kissing. We might think, don't know about that. But that was just their way of saying, I love you. I care about you. Good to see you, that kind of thing, and wish you well. And that's the idea of this. So all these other verses just go along that same line. We don't need to read them all. What they establish is that when you read that in Romans 16:16, this is nothing new. This was a custom that had been practiced for generations upon generations. Now, what is interesting, and I've got three passages here. We'll not read all three. You can read the first one if you want to some other time. It's about Absalom when he was trying to get the kingdom. And he used this to win people to his side. But I want to note 2 Samuel chapter 20. In other words, he was using this greeting with the kiss as if I really care about you. And really his motives were very selfish for his kingdom. But in 2 Samuel chapter 20... very interesting text along this line. Chapter 20, verse 9. Joab said to Amasa, is it well with you, my brother? Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa was not on guard against the sword which was in Joab's hand. So he struck him in the belly with it and poured out his inward parts on the ground and did not strike him again, and he died. I think about... when you see on a news program, for example, people that really hate one another, but they'll greet and kiss one another. They don't like one another. It's just, it's lost its meaning. It's pure hypocrisy. And maybe two mob members kiss one another and you cross me, I'll kill you. So it can be very deceptive. And it put Amasa off guard because this is an act that supposedly says, I'm a friend. But instead, he was out to kill him. So it can be used in deception. The classic case, of course, is Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 48. Now he was betraying him, of course that's Judas, gave them a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one who sees him. That may sound strange, but see, in their society, not strange at all. That's what you do to a friend. And you'll know what Jesus said to him in verse 50, friend. And so Judas said, the one that I kiss, that's the guy. And so immediately Jesus went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him, called him Rabbi, my teacher. Hail, that is a term of honor. But all the time he was betraying him. So greetings, whether by word or handshake or kissing, can be hypocritical, deceptive. And we need to be aware of that. And we certainly see that in these texts. Now, we started out with this concept in Romans 16:16, that here you have a command. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, when we talk about establishing what is authorized, we're familiar with the inductive method. The inductive method, and I trust you can see that on the chart there, is a method that was used in the New Testament to ascertain the divine will. We use it every day to ascertain the will of another. And what you do, very simply, is gain all the pertinent facts and harmonize them to reach a conclusion. We see this in Acts 15, very, very clear. Jesus appealed to it when he was tempted. Satan quotes a verse. He said, "Yeah, but again it's written." Put those together and the conclusion doesn't reach the conclusion that Satan wanted to reach. And so it's the inductive method. So it's very clear we have a command, greet one another with a holy kiss. And that command is specific. But it's only one of the indicators. We need to gather other data. So, look at Romans 16. Go ahead and open your Bibles over to Romans 16. And look at some of the things that we observe there in Romans chapter 16. Now, our verse that we're studying is verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That was a command to the brethren in Rome. Now, in verse 22, Paul would employ sometimes people to write the letter for him. And that's what you have. I, Tertius, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord. There's a lot of miles between Achaia, where Paul's writing this, and Rome. And yet, Tertius greets those people in Rome by letter. So you can, in a letter, express peace, well-wishing, that kind of thing. That would be a greeting, and that's what you find in verse 22. But then look at verse 23. Verse 23, Gaius, host to me and the whole church, greets you. Now, they didn't write the letter, so it's not their letter. So how is this greeting going to be carried out? Just by word. It's just a message sent by these people that we wish you well. We wish you peace. We wish you grace. And we wish God's blessings upon you. That idea. So here now is another way that greeting can be done, and that is by word. And that's clearly indicative here in Romans 16:23. And then we have Romans 16:16. So since greeting was done by letter, and greeting was done by word, and greeting was done by kiss, you put all that together, the conclusion I've reached at least is that the authority, the command to greet one another with a holy kiss is specific, but the authority as to how we express that greeting is generic. We are to greet one another, and we are to greet one another sincerely. But how we do that, whether by handshake, by embrace, by kiss, or whatever, by word, maybe a combination of those things, is up to us. God wants us to greet. And so the idea is then greet one another, and the idea is that it is to be holy. In Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. And the idea that it is to be pure, it is to be holy in this greeting. Now, going back to Romans 16, something very interesting. Matt, in one of the Wednesday closes here recently, talked about this very thing. I thought it was very interesting what he did. And you go back and look at Romans chapter 16. So Paul's writing this letter. If I've counted correctly in verse 3 following. Now remember, this is valuable real estate. This is a document that is going to be written for all the generations yet to come. There can be no wasted space. And yet the Holy Spirit allotted Paul the right to greet and write it 16 times. 16 times in this short close to this letter. Isn't that interesting? Just look, for example, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ. Verse 5, greet the church that is in their house. Verse 6, greet Mary who's worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners. Note, in each one of these also, there's the connection of fellow working, fellow sharing the faith. There's this bond between these people that lies at the root of this, this well-wishing, this granting of peace. And you go on down and you see that throughout. For example, verse 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker. And you can go through all of these. Verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. You see that? And so that's all the way through here. Now, besides the fact you have the greeting 16 times, if I counted correctly, you have 26 names. Okay, let's suppose we interrupted our lesson right now. And we said to somebody on this side of the pew, I want you to tell me the name of every person on this side of the aisle. And we went down the row on this side of the aisle and said, I want you to tell me the name of every person on this side of the aisle. Could we do it? Sometimes we only know the names of a few little people. And yet we meet together twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday. Do we make an effort to know people, to really express a concern about them? And besides the fact, and Matt made this good observation, besides the fact that he mentions these people by name, he knows something about them. Priscilla and Aquila, he said, they're my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They, for my life, risk their own necks. I give thanks for them. Isn't that interesting? That's more than a hello, isn't it? And you look at verse 5, greet the church that's in their house. The fact that somebody would open their house and welcome the brethren to meet there. And then you have verse 6, greet Mary. But look at her. She's worked hard for you. I don't know how he knew that, but he knew it. She worked hard for you. That meant something to Paul. And the Holy Spirit allowed him to a lot of space in this letter to mention that very thing. You have verse 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker. You have verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. And then you have Persis the Beloved, who's worked hard in the Lord. And you just go through these. And so, as Matt pointed out, maybe we need to get to know one another better. And know what people do for the Lord. And there's people in this congregation who are doing things for the Lord throughout the week. They're calling people. They're contacting people. And they're not going to tell you who they're praying for, but they're praying for people. And maybe even visiting people. Maybe having folks in their home. I don't know. But the point is, greet one another with a holy kiss. What we can do if we're not careful is we say, well, we don't have to greet one another with a kiss. Just dismiss that verse. Just might as well just mark it out of your Bible. Just cut it out. But wait a minute. He's regulating a custom. And is he not encouraging a holy greeting, a pure, holy concern about one another? I know he practiced it. Should we? Should we not practice it? What I'm encouraging is maybe break out of our old norms. Instead of just talking to the people you normally talk to that sit in the pew around you, maybe tonight, We got a video camera running, so we're going to see if you do this or not tonight. Tonight, when the service is over, go meet somebody new and talk to them, somebody you don't normally talk to. And same thing on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Greet one another. Now, go back to Romans chapter 1. This is a very enlightening passage about Paul's attitude. You know, we talk about, and I guess I'm going to preach on it again. I've preached on it many times in the past. And we probably need to address it again. In fact, one of the fellow elders mentioned, I probably ought to mention it, deal with it again. That's the need for us to be at all the assemblies, not just Sunday morning. And so I'm not going to preach that tonight. This is not the time to preach it. That's a Sunday morning lesson. But be that as it may. When people talk about assembling, say, I need to go assemble to worship the Lord. Well, that's not a wrong statement. I do need to go and worship the Lord. But you know what? I don't have to assemble to worship the Lord. I can worship the Lord at home. When you go home tonight and you get on your knees and pray, is that not worshiping the Lord? If you're on the way home, you break out in a song of praise, is that not worshiping the Lord? I come together to be with other people who worship the Lord and to share this common faith and common love for the Lord and to be encouraged and to encourage. Look at Romans 1:11. I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. Now, whether you're referring to a miraculous power or not, or just the idea of teaching and his being there, be that as it may, he wanted to, by his presence, to bring some benefit to the brethren. But now note the next verse. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. Look, it's mutual. Paul said, it'll do me good to see you, to be there. I know I'm writing the letter, but I'd like to see you. I'd like to be there with you. And you could be encouraged by my presence as well. So assembling with the saints, this is God's plan, not man's. Here we have a clue to what it's all about, don't we? You're very familiar with Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us consider one another. So I do consider people to stimulate to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. That's a way to show mutual consideration. And so I've got on the question on the chart. Greet one another. Do we? Should we? Should we be glad to see one another? And should that be evident in the way we greet one another and talk to one another when we come together? And so we're going to sing the song that Matt graciously has changed the final song to. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord and one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. Beautiful song, beautiful words, and it expresses the very thought that we've been working on in our lesson tonight. So as you sing this song, think about this wonderful privilege God has given us to have people of the common faith to meet together to encourage one another in this free land. Let us stand and sing.